Good morning. So you heard Tim read the text for this morning. It's from Matthew, and Jesus is talking. And before we get to that, I wanted to talk to you about signs. So there's signs everywhere we go, and there's basically two kinds of signs. The first type are the types that we may be annoyed by or that may caution us in some way or limit us in some way, kind of like, you know, stop signs, do not enter, speed limits, yield, no parking. These are like the one types of signs. And then there's this one that I found, caution, falling cows. Has anybody ever come across that one? But then there's also the sign types of signs that we like, you know, or we may crave, you know. For example, this is a sign I gave to my wife and show her how much I loved her. Right, Zara? No, I would have to use a sawzall to do that. So I did not do that. But those are the kinds of signs we like, you know, signs that somebody loves us or likes us, signs where an illness looks like it's getting better and we're getting close to health. And so these are kinds of the two different signs we have in our society. And like I said, we deal with them every single day, pretty much throughout the day. And that's really the topic here of the text in Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus is talking about signs and also the Pharisees and the scribes. So let's take a look at that again in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42. Verse 38 says this, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.'" All right, so to completely understand what the Pharisees and scribes are getting at here, you got to go back. You always got to take a look at what's going on before the particular event. And what's going on before this is Jesus has performed miracles. He's been healing people. And then he gets to this part where the Pharisees and scribes are challenging him, saying, you know, who gives you the right to do these miracles and these signs and things? And then Jesus calls them a brood of vipers. Now, here's a tip. You don't want Jesus, the Son of God, to call you a brood of vipers. And then he talks about how a good tree brings forth good fruit and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Jesus, right before that, healed a demon-oppressed, a demon-possessed man in front of all these people. And now the Pharisees and scribes, who have witnessed this, want Jesus to prove himself. They want Jesus to prove himself. Why are they asking for a sign? Jesus just did something. But that wasn't good enough. They've seen him do other things. They've seen him heal people. They've seen some of his miracles. But the Pharisees and the scribes want their own private miracle to prove that Jesus is who he says he is. And then that got me to thinking, you know, how often do we play this game with God? Just give me a sign, God. If only you would give me a sign so I know I'm doing the right thing. Give me a sign so I know where to go in my life. I just need a sign. And as we're asking for these signs, how often do we miss the sign? Just like these guys. It kind of reminds me of a joke about a preacher who's drowning in an ocean, and there's a boat that comes by. "Do you need some help?" "No, God will save me." Another ship, a bigger ship, comes by. "Do you need some help?" "No, God will save me." Well, he drowns and dies. Gets up to heaven and asks God, "Why didn't you save me?" God says, "Fool, I sent you two boats." You've probably heard a joke similar to that before. But this is in particular about a preacher. But how often do we miss the sign when we're asking for signs? And so after this question, that the Pharisees and scribes have for Jesus. You know, we wish for you to give us our own private sign. Jesus answers them. And he says, but he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. So basically, Jesus' answer is, no, I'm not going to give you a sign. I'm not going to give you what you want. You only get the sign of Jonah. And I, of course, absolutely love this. Because Jesus, once again, is tying the Old Testament to himself. The sign of Jonah. And then in order to fully understand what Jesus is talking about, we got to go back and take a look at Jonah. And so, Jonah is a real person in a real time. Notice, Jesus didn't make any indication or say anything that Jonah, the events of Jonah, was some type of parable or some type of myth or fable. He's talking about a real person in a real time. And so, who was Jonah? Jonah was a prophet called by God around 790 BC. So Jonah was around just over 800 years before Jesus made this comparison to Jonah. And by the way, this is the only prophet that Jesus compares himself to by name in the Bible, which is very cool also. And Jonah was a prophet who really didn't prophesy much. Pretty much what you get in the book of Jonah is Jonah complaining and grumbling. And so for the Bereans this week, by the way, I'm challenging everybody to read the book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters long. And you can read that this week to get to know Jonah just a little bit more. But like I said, he doesn't really prophesy much. He complains about his call by God. And this is one of those events, the events of Jonah, that everybody pretty much has heard about. Because let's be honest, anytime somebody's swallowed by a giant fish, a whale, whatever it was, people pay attention, right? Just like the guy in the news that was really swallowed by a whale, or allegedly. But I got to be honest, if I was close to a whale, I'd be telling people I was swallowed by a whale too. But anytime you're talking about something giant like that, swallowing a human being, it's going to grab people's attention. And so everybody pretty much knows what happened to Jonah. And just like every single thing in the Bible, and you've been hearing me yammer on about this for a year now, that everything in the Bible is in the Bible for a specific reason. There's nothing in the Bible that's random. There's nothing in the Bible that's just there for the fun of it. There's nothing in the Bible that's just some good story that wanted to be shared. They're all events with real people. Yes, Jesus used parables to teach where he was comparing. This isn't a parable, but Jesus is comparing himself to a real person in the Old Testament, which was Jonah. And as I've been saying, that all of these events in the Bible, every single thing from Genesis to Revelation, everything is connected by the crimson thread, which is, of course, Jesus. And we get the exact same thing here with the events of Jonah. So let's talk about Jonah for a second here. Jonah was a prophet. He was called by God to do something specific, to go and preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. Now, something about Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which was a very ruthless nation, not good people. So Jonah didn't want to do this. And a lot of us might have been the exact same as Jonah. No, I don't really want to do that, God. So Jonah literally, and I have a map up here, went in the opposite direction. So if you could see up there in the right-hand corner, the circle, that's Nineveh in Assyria. And down there where the X is, sort of in the middle, is Joppa. That's where Jonah was. And then if you look to the left of the screen with the arrow, Tarshish is over there. So when God calls Jonah to go preach to the people of Nineveh, Jonah's answer is, I'm going to get in a boat and go to Tarshish, which is literally the opposite direction. And so Jonah is literally on the run, running away from God. And so while he's running away from God, a great storm hits, and you can see that on the map there as he's on his way to Tarshish. Great storm. It's so violent that the ship is starting to flood, and there's a bunch of other people on this ship, by the way, and they're all freaking out, and they're like, what is going on? What is God? This is obviously something from God. What is going on? We are all going to die. And Jonah sort of comes to his senses, realizing that this storm is there because of him. Because he knows he's not doing what God called him to do, and he's running away. And so he tells the people on the boat, this is my fault. Throw me off the boat, and you will be saved. So they do that. They take Jonah, toss him out into the raging sea. And notice that by tossing Jonah into the sea, all those people on the ship are saved. Keep that on the back burner. So I got a question here. Have you ever tried running away from God? Have you? My wife knows this guy that tried this, and it didn't work out. So I literally went to the while I was at the seminary to a professor, and I dragged my wife along, trying to get him to give me permission to quit and leave so I could run in the opposite direction. And you want to know what? When I was talking to this professor, I was, you know, saying, nah, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to go this way and do this thing. And I wanted my wife to be a witness to hear it so that she would believe me that I should quit. And he just pointed down at the table that was sitting in between us. You know what book was laying on the table? A commentary on the book of Jonah. Did he plant that there? So I'm asking you, I'm confessing to you, I have done this. Have you ever tried running away from the call that God is giving you, placing on your life? You know, when we ignore God and go our own way, we will run into consequences of our sins, just like Jonah did. God's judgment on Jonah was being in that raging sea that was at its highest because of the great storm that was up. Jonah thought he was going to die. And as we know, the wages of sin is death. God's judgment on Jonah was death. But then, like I said, the events in Jonah's life point to the crimson thread. God showed his mercy on Jonah by sending that great fish to swallow him up. That was God's mercy. And Jonah got to spend some time in the belly of the whale, or fish, or whatever it was. So now let's fast forward again to this event in Matthew when Jesus brings up Jonah, the sign of Jonah. Jonah's whole life points to the crimson thread, Jesus. Again, this is not just some random event of a cool story about some guy getting swallowed by a huge fish. It's connected by the crimson thread. And the sign of Jonah points to Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. Now remember, Jonah tossed off the boat into the raging sea, saved lives. Jonah is pointing to Jesus, Jesus is the one that was thrown into the raging sea on our behalf, absorbing God's judgment and wrath on sin. And God didn't save him right away. Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, absorbed all of God's wrath on our behalf. And because Jesus was the one tossed over the ship into the raging sea, lives were saved, which is you and I. And you know what? This is all such amazing news for us. And again, it's not random that Jonah was in the whale for 3 days. Because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the tomb that he was in. And just like Jonah, so what does this mean for us? Just like Jonah, who got new life after the fish vomited him back up on the shore, back so he could go to Nineveh and preach to those people. We too have new life through the waters of baptism. Our sinful nature was drowned, and we have new life. And we can remember our baptism each and every day and know that we are saved. We have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And again, the sign of Jonah. And we know because Jesus rose from the tomb 3 days later, that tomb is empty. Our God is alive. Our Jesus is alive. No other world religion can claim that about their God. Our God's tomb is empty. And because of that, and because we've been baptized into Jesus' death, we too will rise on the last day when he comes back to take us all to be with him in heaven because of what he did for us. And he will take us to the promised land, as you're going to hear in a song in just a little bit, because he loves us that much. He wanted to die on the cross for us instead of live in eternity without us. And that's how much he loves us. And we thank God for that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Will you please pray with me?